Our scripture reading tonight is from Philippians 1, verse 21. Philippians 1, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Four chapters and 104 verses. That's what we're dealing with in the book of Philippians. It's a short book, but oh, what it has to say. It's really saying in one sentence, real joy comes by having the mind of Jesus in the gospel. Joy, mind or mindset, and gospel are words that are really prevalent, really important words in the book of Philippians. But not just that. If you were to go through those four chapters and 104 verses, and you were to circle every reference to Jesus, you would be amazed at how Jesus-centered, Jesus-focused this book is. Real joy comes by having the mind of Jesus in the gospel. Jesus is mentioned at least 56 times in this book. At least 56. Kind of taking that as our springboard, let's outline Philippians with Jesus being the theme. Philippians 1 is Jesus, our life. Jesus, our life. If you listened as Danny read our scripture tonight from Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is money. For to me to live is success. For to me to live is recreation. For to me to live is fun. For to me to live is Christ. Chapter 2. Christ, our pattern. Philippians 2, verse 5. Christ, our pattern. In what is Jesus our pattern? I guess the simple answer is everything. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Think this way. Think like He thought. Live like He lived. Love like He loved. Give like He gave. He is our example, our pattern in everything. Chapter 3. Looking at Jesus as the theme of the book, and one could do way worse than say that Jesus is the theme of the book. Real joy comes by having the mind of Jesus through the gospel. Get to chapter 3. Jesus, our goal. Our goal, G-O-A-L. You look at Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable to His death, that I may know Him. It's an ongoing thing. And if that were true of the Apostle Paul, how much more true is it of you and me? The goal of knowing Him more and more. You keep looking at the chapter in verses 13 and 14 of Philippians 3. He's our goal. I press on toward the mark, the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verses 20 and 21 of the same chapter, our citizenship is in heaven, and we wait for a Savior, our goal, to be with Jesus in heaven. Chapter 4. Everything about this chapter speaks of Christ, our sufficiency. our all-sufficient Lord and Savior. In nothing worry, in everything pray. Philippians 4 and verse 6. I have learned because of Jesus that I can be content in every circumstance. Philippians 4 and verse 11. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Our all-sufficient Lord and Savior. And then verse 19, my God shall richly supply your every need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a bank account children of God have upon which to draw. The riches that are in Christ Jesus, our all-sufficient Lord and Savior. Now, you read such an upbeat, optimistic book as this, and remember that Philippi was sort of the sweetheart. I got this out this morning. I can put it up tonight, I guess. Now, and remember that Jesus is this all-sufficient Savior, this upbeat book. And yet when we trace the roots of the church at Philippi back, the church was born in controversy and persecution. Acts 16, Paul's second missionary journey. And as a matter of fact, you see that the jailer is converted by Paul and Silas when they were imprisoned and after they had been mistreated. Yet Acts 16:25 talks about their singing praise to God and how people in the prison heard that. You know, life is unpredictable. You ever found yourself saying, whoa, I didn't see that coming? If you haven't said that, you will. Unpredicted circumstance. Unpredicted circumstances. We'll all face them. We didn't see them coming. Unpredictable people. If it weren't for unpredictable circumstances and unpredictable people, our lives might be a lot easier, we think. But then you add to that unpredictable problems. Life is unpredictable, isn't it? What I want you to do with me tonight is look at all around living in Christ from Philippians chapter 4. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we are going to look at three truths about all around living in Christ. Even when life is unpredictable, three truths. Here's the first truth that's dealt with. And we'll see this in Philippians chapter 4 as the chapter opens. How to greet every circumstance. How to greet every circumstance, even the unpredictable ones. How to greet every circumstance. The answer is found in verse 1, in verse 2, and in verse 4 of Philippians 4. The answer is in the Lord. How to greet every situation, how to greet every circumstance. Every circumstance is to be greeted by a child of God in the Lord. Now you think about that. In the Lord is an environment, a place, where we find the strength and the wherewithal, the comfort, the encouragement, to be people who are standing firm in the Lord. See verse 1. In the Lord is a place, an environment, where we find encouragement and comfort as God's people, to be people who are living harmoniously in the Lord. Look at verses 2 and 3. Standing firm, living harmoniously. And then look at verse 4, if you will. In the Lord is the place to be for standing firm, for living harmoniously with others, and for always rejoicing. For rejoicing always. In the Lord, or in Christ, is a statement that you will read about repeatedly in the letters of Paul. He can't go very long without talking about what it means to be in Christ, in Jesus, in the Lord. As a matter of fact, just in Paul's writings, this expression occurs 164 times. And when you look at these verses in Philippians, how to greet every circumstance, greet them in the Lord. And if you do, you'll be standing firm, you'll be living harmoniously, and you'll be rejoicing always. You'll find something in which to rejoice. But let's look at the expression a little more. Let me break it down. Lord. L-O-R-D. In the Lord. And what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is this. That He is the sovereign King. We trust in the sovereign King. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Revelation 19 and verse 16. You can stand in Him. Stand firm. You can live harmoniously in Him. That's the only place in which there's true unity. And you can live joyfully in Him. Now look at the passage and look again at that expression, in the Lord. And what it's saying is this. There is a relationship. There's a connection. There's union. When there is a relationship and a connection and a union between us and Jesus, we have every reason for optimism, no matter what the circumstance or situation. How to greet every situation is to greet the circumstance in the Lord. Now that doesn't mean that we evade the circumstance. It doesn't mean that we ignore it. It just means that as the people of God, we trust our sovereign King to see us through every circumstance, every situation. Remember the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3, those great heroes of the Old Testament? We're not going to bow down to you. God may deliver us from the fire, but even if He does not, we will trust in Him, the sovereign King. So, you and I are aware of the circumstances. We seek to prepare for difficult circumstances in life that we might have to deal with. However, ultimately, we greet every circumstance, every situation in the Lord. Now that's pretty inclusive, isn't it? To greet every circumstance in the Lord. Second truth. Second truth, how to treat every person. How to treat every person. In these seven verses in Philippians chapter 4, Paul deals with how to greet every circumstance and how to treat every person. Let's look at verses 1 through 5 together. How does Paul treat every person with inherent value? With inherent value. What do you mean by that, Mike? Notice how he speaks of these Christians. He calls them beloved. He calls them brothers. He calls them his joy and his crown and people for whom he longs. When you think of brothers and sisters here at Westside, when you think of brothers and sisters in other congregations that you know, is that how you think? And if not, why not? How to treat every individual. Now, whether the person is a brother or sister in Christ, we still see their inherent value to God. We are to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith, Galatians 6, 9 and 10. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is still the great commandment, Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. But in this case, he's dealing especially with Christians. I think of a little poem I would quote often at this point. To dwell above with saints I love, that will be great grace and glory. But to dwell below with Christians I know, well, that's another story. Sometimes we fail to see the inherent value of a precious soul to God. Now let's keep looking at this passage and see what it says about treating others. We are to treat others, look at verses 2 and 3, with genuine encouragement. With genuine encouragement. Is that how I deal with others characteristically? I see their inherent value to God, and they're valued by me too. And I treat them with encouragement. I encourage, I exhort Euodia, and I exhort Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. You may have the word appeal. You may have the word entreat. You may have the word urge, depending upon the translation that you're reading from. But the basic word is the word encourage. Do we treat others encouragingly? If you treat others with encouragement, you will never lack for a ministry. Because some people are ministers of discouragement. I encourage Euodia and Syntyche. Keep this in mind. Here's two women in the church at Philippi. Paul names names. And while that is not something that he does often, I think it's striking, it's significant, it matters that he does in this case. Because what you got here, Scott, are two women who are differing in a matter of opinion, in a personality issue. But the personality issue is still starting to hurt the church at Philippi. How do I know that? Because he has to urge both of them to be of the same mind in the Lord. As an apostle, if one of them has deviated doctrinally, Paul would have straightened them out, don't you think? But what he does is address both of them equally. And it's interesting that Euodia's name means success. And Syntyche's name means fortunate. It was an unsuccessful, unfortunate circumstance that caused Paul to name both of their names. And it was the personality conflict with one another. People in the church taking sides. This is the Euodia side over here, and this is the Syntyche side over here. Kind of natural for things like that to happen. Paul encourages both ladies to be of the same mind in the Lord. Real joy comes by having the mind of Jesus in the gospel. This is hurting the gospel, this is hurting the church, this is hurting the unity of the congregation. I exhort both of you to be of the same mind. All right. Notice what he goes on to say. If we would treat others appropriately, a spirit of helpfulness must be utilized. You, true yoke fellow, help these women. For they labored with me in the gospel, and Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. It's a pretty good thing to ask ourselves, do I treat other people with inherent value? You matter to me because you matter to God. Do I treat them with genuine encouragement? I encourage Euodia. I encourage Syntyche too. Do I treat others with helpfulness? Am I willing to help and to encourage others to do the same? And here, fourthly, and how to treat others. And this is another really striking thing. Know when to take sides and when not to. There is a time to stand firm for what is right. But there is a time for diplomacy. And this was the time for diplomacy between Euodia and Syntyche. And you see Paul, who could have pulled the apostolic card out, I'm an apostle, and straightened the whole thing out through authoritarian teaching. And as an apostle, that would have been valid. But what he does is he uses the language of value and encouragement and helpfulness and diplomacy to encourage these two women to get their act together. You know, how in the world could they have heard that read and resisted that type of plea? Amen to that? And then, look at verse 5. He treats others with sweet reasonableness or with gentle forbearance. Maybe you have the expression moderation. With sweet reasonableness and gentle forbearance. Harsh reaction and critical meanness. Sweet reasonableness and gentle forbearance. If you treat others that way, they may be more prone to listen. People like Euodia and Syntyche for the benefit of the church at Philippi. But then notice also in verse 5, the expression the Lord is at hand. It can be taken in two different ways, both of which I can see as being applicable. What Paul is saying to Euodia and Syntyche, these sisters in the Lord and to the church, the Lord is present. The Lord is near. Don't you think you need to make things right? Because the Lord is present. The Lord is near. But it is also possible that he's thinking even more long term, and he's thinking about the second coming. The Lord is at hand. One day you will have to give an account for your personality rift and how it's creating friction that is fracturing the church at Philippi. Is that what you want to do before the Lord and Savior? How to treat every person. These verses are sweeping. If you really want to know the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you, Matthew 7:12, look here at Philippians 4:1-5, because everybody would want to be treated like this. Truth number three. You're telling me, Brother Mike, this is all about all-around living. Every circumstance, every person. Now look at verses 6 and 7. Every problem. Every problem or trouble. Notice verse 6. The negative. In nothing be anxious. In nothing worry. You know what he's saying? He's saying, stop. Stop right now. Stop. In nothing, worry. In nothing, worry. I believe he means it. A friend of mine was pretty fond of using this saying, this sentence, I don't anticipate any major problems. He was married for a long time to a very godly and wise lady that had the ability to say something in a very interesting way. But undoubtedly, she had heard him say, I don't anticipate any major problems, thousands of times in the 50 or so years they were married. And finally he said it once, and she looked at him and smiled and said, we are going to put that on your tombstone. He didn't anticipate any major problems. If it weren't for circumstances and people and troubles, life would be a whole lot more predictable, huh? We could say we don't anticipate any major problems. But in Jesus, we can say that too, in the Lord. Now look, stop. In nothing worry. For those of us that are worry warts, this passage ought to rebuke and sting a little bit. In nothing worry. Now the positive. But in everything, pray. Stop and go. Stop worrying. Go to God in prayer. Do you see that? Right in the passage, isn't it? And keep this in mind, too. The way to worry about nothing is to pray about what? The way to worry about nothing comes by praying about everything. In nothing worry, in everything pray. Now look at the next expression, supplication. Prayer is the general word for talking to God. Supplication here, stop, don't worry. In everything pray, go to the throne of God in prayer with supplication. Plea, plead, P-L-E-A-D, plead. And the idea is pleading from the one who can provide everything we really need. Supplication, to plead from the one who provides everything we really need. With supplication and with what? What? Getting close. Pray with supplication and thanksgiving. Stop, go, plead, thank. Stop, go, plead, thank. In every trouble, stop, go, plead, thank. And the text goes on to say, and let your petition or request be made known to God. Do you see it? Petition or request, ask, ask. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss that you might consume it in your lust, James 4, verses 1 through 4. Ask, seek, and knock, Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Stop, go, plead, thank, ask. Your petitions, requests made known to God, and then the last expression, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. Trust. Every trouble, we should stop, we should go, we should plead, we should what? After we plead, we thank. After we thank, we ask. And after we ask, we trust. The peace of God. Catch that. The peace of God. The peace of God. A peace that God alone can give. And the peace of God, catch this too, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep, shall guard, shall be like a fortress to your heart and mind. When troubled, don't we need peace? Peace like a fortress in our heart and mind. And then notice the last three words. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we can stand firm. In Christ Jesus, we can live harmoniously. Verse 2. In Christ Jesus, we can rejoice. Philippians 4 and verse 4. In Christ Jesus, we can have peace. Philippians 4 and verse 7. That's a faith for all seasons. That's all-around faith. That, my friends, can help us get home to be with Him forever. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement. I appreciate so much you listening. Somebody asked me, what sermon series are we going to get into next? And I said, I'm not going to do a sermon series for a little while, at least not one I'm going to advertise as such, because I like to give you all a break. Four lessons on being at the feet of Jesus, that's enough to make people think. But I hope that Philippians 4, 1 through 7 has blessed you tonight. It sure should have. If you're not a Christian, through faith, repentance, and baptism, come to Jesus. Have your sins washed away by His blood at the point of baptism. After having repented of your sins and acknowledged your faith in Him, the Lord will add you to His church. He's promised forgiveness of sins to those who repent and are baptized. Acts 2:38. For those of us that are in the church, I suspect as long as we live, unpredictable circumstances, unpredictable, volatile people, and unpredictable problems and troubles will come our way. Aren't you glad that our God is big enough to help us through those? Let us stand and sing.